I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beaten Track podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Today's episode, I talk to Jerry Horton of Papa Roach. It's a great chat. We talk about a lot of good rock records. We go in on Faith No More. And you're in for a treat. It's a great little chat. Before we get on with that, just a few thank yous. So thanks to Scroobius Pip and the Distraction Pieces Network. Thank you to 76 for producing this podcast. I should say as well, if this is your first time listening to Off the Beaten Track podcast, then once you finish listening to my chat with Jerry, then there's another 250 episodes that, you know, I'd say go and have a look through, because if you like Papa Roach, I'm not suggesting you definitely will, but you'd probably enjoy my episodes with Deftones, Tommy Lee of Motley Crue, Butch Vig, and then, you know, it goes everywhere, this podcast. Fatboy Slim, Mel C of the Spice Girls, Chuck D of Public Enemy, Foo Fighters. If you like Foo Fighters, go and check out my chat with Chris. So there's loads of episodes that I'd say go and have a rummage around in and see what you find that you want to listen to. Just also quickly, you know, I find that when I record these intros and outros, I just kind of go through all the formalities. But just a quick one, really, just to say that I hope you're doing okay. It's strange times that we find ourselves in, and you know, I'm finding recording these podcasts are a really healthy distraction for me, and something really positive to do. So if you find through listening to this podcast is in any way, shape or form a distraction from, you know, not doom scrolling on your, you know, through your phone or watching, you know, a very, very kind of downbeat news, you know, on the TV, then I'm really happy that, you know, anybody's getting a, you know, half hour kind of break from what's going on in the world just by listening to some creative people tell their story via the means of really, really strong and great records. And that's what you're going to get today. In regards to the back catalogue, you can find out all about that at offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. And over there, you can also find links to the Patreon if you'd like to support the podcast. Because I've also got another couple of hundred episodes on the Patreon that you can have access to for about 71p a week. And each week I put up loads of video episodes and radio shows, and there's loads of stuff. And there's another whole little world and community going on over there. So, links to that are all on the website. Let's get on with today's chat. Please enjoy Off the Beaten Track podcast with Jerry Horton of Papa Roach. Right, I've got to take a quick break in this podcast because I've got some super exciting news. Off the Beaten Track podcast is proud to go into partnership with the Cacao Bar from Hotel Chocolat. That's right. The Cacao Bar is not a chocolate bar. It's all the best bits of a chocolate bar put into a really exciting new alcoholic range. That's right. Gin, vodka, and a beautiful range of cream liqueurs. So one of the big bonuses of this partnership is obviously I'm super thrilled to have Hotel Chocolat working with us, but they sent me a great big box of this stuff, and I'm telling you, it's amazing. Go and check it out, www.hotelchocolat.com, or over on the socials at Hotel Chocolat. But yeah, in the coming months, there's going to be opportunities for you to get involved with competitions with us, to win bottles of stuff. There's loads of exciting things coming soon, and I can't be more happy to say that this podcast is in partnership with the Cacao Bar from Hotel Chocolat. All right, let's get back to the podcast. is Off the Beaten Track Podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. Keep me, Stew, with him. Okay, we are recording sitting opposite me today via the means of Zoom. Jerry Horton, hey.
Hey, what's going on?
I'm good. You're okay?
Doing all right, yeah.
Good, good, good. Where are you right now?
I'm at home in Northern California.
So I want to kind of ask, in regards to being at home, really, how you found the last 10, 11 months, both personally and creatively?
You know, for the first, like, 6 months, I think it was nice because in the 20 years that we've been doing it, you know, on the major label level, international level, I haven't been home for longer than 2 months, maybe. So to be able to have that time and, you know, being with the family and all that, it was great. And it's still, that part of it's still great. But we kind of want to get out and tour again.
Yeah. You're missing it.
Yeah. As far as creative goes, it was September of last year, we rented a house in Southern California and got together and locked ourselves in for a month with our producers and, you know, wrote a bunch of songs and then, you know, occasionally we would make trips back down to LA and obviously quarantine with the guys that we know and, you know, we had all been tested and all that. And we're kind of on the tail end of it on the recording stuff. Jacoby's down there right now finishing things up. Yeah. I mean, you know, we've been trying to stay productive and using the time wisely and trying to get the best that we can.
Cool. Well, let's talk records. And for track one, Jerry, I'm going to ask you the song that you regard as having the greatest ever intro, please.
Yeah. I'm probably missing a few things to compare it to, but for me, the first time I heard New Noise by Refused, it was like insane. Just the tension and the buildup and the release is just incredible.
So I want to ask, you touched upon the 20 years of the band. And, you know, if we go back 20 years and look at how people were listening to music, it's very, very different to how people listen to music now. You know, there's less and less people going to record stores and more people, you know, streaming and such. And there's been, a million and one different ways to listen to music in between there. But what I'm always interested in when, you know, I'm talking to people that write songs is over the last 20 years and probably more so in the last 10 years, we're seeing attention spans on younger people getting quicker and shorter. And hearing more and more records on the radio now that haven't got huge, you know, epic kind of intros, it seems to be cutting straight to it. And I just wonder if these are things that, you know, you take into consideration now when you're writing music.
Well, put the, you know, the occasional, you know, I think maybe if it's the beginning of an album, we'll kind of do that, but we've never really been the sort of band to, like, we've always kind of had that sort of pop song structure mentality in our music. That, you know, the Beatles are a huge inspiration for that part of it. You know, and occasionally we'd step out and, try and craft a cool intro.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like if we did that more than once or twice, it would kind of get old. So.
And also, you know, it appears now that so many people, rather than buying albums on a whole, will go onto iTunes and cherry pick certain tracks. Do you still write an album to be listened to as a piece of art, as a body of work?
We are still. We're kind of taking a look at how we release things in the future. And that comes kind of more as a business part of it than a creative part of it. And, you know, if we had our way, we would just release an album, you know, wouldn't have to do any promo behind it and all that, you know, but there is a business side of it too. So there are other things that we have to take into consideration. But yeah, I mean, we're still making albums, and we're still kind of, we do like to get down to the track listing and how, you know, one song will go into the next and all that. So, yeah.
Okay. Track two, Jerry, the first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you.
Yeah. Something I Can Never Have by Nine Inch Nails. It was like, and I don't know if it was, it had to do with me, I guess maybe the hormonal state I was in, you know, it was like going through puberty and, you know, being all emo and whatever. But yeah, that song, like when I first heard it, it just put me into this space that I'd never really been before. And I was just feeling it, you know, and that kind of became one of my go-to songs for when I was like, just really kind of depressed, you know what I mean?
Do you still sort of lean towards, you know, that sort of thing? If you're feeling low, if you're feeling a bit blue, you know, do you engage with them emotions and listen to music and kind of process it rather than kind of trying to find something really upbeat and just trying to get on with it? Are you happy to kind of indulge that emotion with you know, more somber music?
Nowadays, I don't really take time to indulge it, you know, because it takes time. I kind of just try and find something to do to help me snap out of it and move on, you know.
And just to touch on Nine Inch Nails there, I mean, that song is a remarkable record. I mean, that album is incredible.
Yeah.
And that particular track sort of sits quite differently from the rest of the stuff on that record, which I think was maybe why it really popped when it came out. It was a softer side of Trent, you know?
Totally.
Incidentally, have you seen the Song Exploder episode on Netflix where he talks about writing Hurt and the production? And the, have you seen that?
Yep.
Oh, it's fucking great.
Incredible.
Man.
Yeah. He's on another level for sure. Yeah,
really, really is, man. Okay, for track three, the song that reminds you of your time at school, please.
Yeah, it would have to be "And Justice for All." It was kind of like the song that I really started like trying to learn how to play guitar to, and it was the first song that was more than some chords, you know. It was the first real riff that I learned and was able to play. And I just remember like going to my buddy's house down the street. He was the one who kind of got me into Metallica, and we would just rock out and it was cool.
How did you find school?
You know, I liked middle school for me was a little tough, and then maybe the first year of high school was a little tough, but after that I was more comfortable in my own skin and I found my friends, and high school was a blast for me.
When you say you found your friends, does that also kind of mean you found your tribe, you found where you fitted?
Totally, yeah. I think especially back then it was, you know, the musical cultures were a little more separate, and you know, identifying with one, even though, like, you know, I personally, you know, liked different kinds of music, you almost had to identify mostly with one type of music, and you know, and Yeah, I found my tribe, and we happened to live all in the same neighborhood. And it was, once I found that, it was awesome.
Did you know what you wanted to be when you was at school?
When I was at school, I did have the dreams. Yeah.
And I mean, you was already playing guitar at this point.
Yep. Yeah. I started when I was 14. So.
And did it seem, you know, at that age, did it seem, you know, like a legit possibility that, you know, someone from where you was from could carve out a career in music? Did that seem like that was a possibility? It didn't.
It was the dream. And the band kind of came about because we didn't really have anything to do in the town. Just kind of, you know, there was like a skating rink and a park, and that was about it, you know. And it, you know, it was just a way for kids to get together, you know, so that was as far as the reality at the time. That was as far as it went. Was just, yeah, we could do this for fun, and that was it. And it wasn't really until we worked really hard at having fun and doing that, and then we slowly started to see, you know, that it was becoming a bigger thing than just having fun.
And, you know, it did become obviously a much, much bigger thing. And I've seen you play to like hundreds of thousands of people and, you know, and play these huge gigs and festivals, which takes confidence. And so I just wonder, when you started to, you know, was you confident as a young person, or did that come later?
No, that came much later, and very, very gradual, kind of just throwing myself into it, but not getting out there and saying, look at me. It was like, when we first started, I was the guy's joke. I was like kind of hiding behind the PA speaker, and I was there, I was playing, but I was, you know, hiding almost. And it took years, really.
And you know, whilst talking confidence, and I want to touch on drive as well, because the music industry is ridiculously difficult to succeed in, and you've succeeded, you know, to incredible levels. So are you driven?
We joke that we're, you know, because Infest blew up so much that people were calling it an overnight success. And we always joked that we were a 7-year overnight success, yeah. You know, and because we worked for so long, and also that, you know, there were a couple of years where we felt like we were ready to play with the big boys, but all the gatekeepers were saying no. And so we ran into every major label and most all independent labels shutting us down and saying, no, you're not ready yet. And so that just fueled the fire. And, you know, it took a couple of years, but we got there.
And you did get there. And, you know, and then you found yourself, you know, playing gigs and festivals with, you know, obviously some of the biggest bands in the world. And so I'm always interested when I speak to, you know, people like yourself, like, do you ever, you know, get imposter syndrome? Do you ever just think, oh man, like, I'm here, like, and with my band, and like, that band's over there. How, you know, do we deserve to be here? Do you still ever get that self-doubt and imposter syndrome?
I mean,
and I say that with the greatest of respect, Jerry.
Totally. No, I'm not taking it any other way. I think that there have been those moments become less and less, I think, because we've been doing it for so long. But there were some times where I was thinking, like, what are we doing? Like, we're not, you know, one of the craziest things for me was We were at the, I think it was 2001, maybe, or 2002. We were at the Kerrang Awards, and that was our first time. And we were at a table. I think we were with Linkin Park. And, you know, we were just kind of sitting there, and I kind of look around the room, and right behind me is this big, huge thing of curly gray hair and a really loud shirt. And I'm going, who's this guy, you know? And he turns around, and it's Brian May, and he goes, oh, hey, Papa Roach, you guys are cool. I dig your stuff. And I'm going, what? You're telling me that? Like, that is just, that was the craziest, one of the craziest things. Like, super cool, amazing guy, you know? But that was definitely, I was having imposter syndrome for sure.
Okay, for track four, Jerry, the first song you remember buying from a record store.
Yeah, this one is kind of funny, but the first, and it was actually an LP that I bought. The first record I ever bought was Rat Under the Cellar. And that was really like kind of the first, I think I was 10, and that was like one of the first rock albums that I had bought by myself. We had always had a lot of music in, you know, in the family. My dad had a record player, and he was like, he got a CD player when they first came out, and that was the big thing. And, but we always had music happening in, you know, in the house. And
what sort of stuff, Jerry?
But it was a really wide range. Like, you know, he had Zeppelin, but then also Michael Jackson and, you know, ELO. I think I'm pretty sure he had a Wham album, and, you know, so it was all over the place. And, you know, it was like, I just, you know, they kind of said, all right, go ahead. What do you, you know, go get some stuff, you know? And it was, you know, I just went and got a couple of things. And I think that was like, you know, when MTV started and seeing the videos, I was drawn to it kind of, you know? And so it was that Rat. And then I think it was Girls, Girls, Girls.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Listen up. I've only got another new sponsor. Egg Fried. It's this super cool clothing label. And if you're into sort of skating and street art and gigging and kind of like really cool art and throwing a little bit of Asian culture and the designer's kind of weird sense of humor in the mix, then you're pretty much there with the wonderful world that is eggfried.com. Now, They do these amazing punchy kind of graphic tees, hoodies and sweatshirts, beautiful art prints, as well as this. They have a denim range, all handmade in-house, all supporting the slow fashion movement. Not only that, they've given you a discount code, 10% off when you head over to eggfried.com. Just use the code EGGSALAD, E-G-G-S-A-L-A-D, save 10%. Go and get lost in the world of Egg Fried. Also, they've got a new kids range, and it's called Small Fried, and it's super cool, super cute. And again, it's all over there in this wonderful world. Go and get involved at eggfried.com. But just to touch on what you said there, you know, you mentioned that, you know, growing up you would be hearing, you know, Michael Jackson, Wham, and things like that. And you mentioned at the beginning of this chat, you know, that Papa Roach will always have pop sensibilities in their writing. Do you think, mm-hmm. you know, growing up in the 80s, which was a boom of magnificent pop music, do you think that yeah. has kind of found its way into your head in you know, when you approach, you know, that writing process?
Yeah, I think so. I think that balance between sort of like the sugar and the substance is very important for us. And I think that, you know, I think it's something that's always going to be there.
So for track 5, I asked for a song that soundtracked your year's clubbing. yeah. I should point out, right, that this is the one. It's really weird. Whenever I speak to musicians, I generally get met with, I didn't really go clubbing, but this doesn't yeah. necessarily mean chrome-laden, you know, neon-signed clubs playing, you know, hardcore techno. This can be sweaty dive bars. This can be rock and roll clubs, metal clubs, indie clubs. It can be, you know, anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for me, I didn't really like, I wasn't going to concerts a lot when I was a kid. My first concert was a festival show called Day on the Green in San Francisco. And it was, Faith No More, Soundgarden, Queensryche, and Metallica. And
that's not a bad first gig, man.
no, not at all. It was crazy. But I think probably because it was during the day that you know, my parents said, okay, yeah, you can do that. But yeah, I guess if that is kind of the measure of it, I'd probably have to say Sad But True.
Yeah.
Cause that was right when the Black Album came out. And, that was like my first real show.
Yeah.
As a fan.
You know, you mentioned so many great bands there, but can you, I mean, I don't know who was headlining, but can you, you know, for me, I just think the first time I saw Faith No More live, and I saw Mike yeah. Patton front a band, I thought I'm potentially looking at the greatest frontman ever at that point. He was just
absolutely
different level, you know. Yeah. To hear someone scream yeah. the way he'd scream and then sing with this most beautiful soul, it was like, and he was just an animal on stage as well. It was like, I'd never seen anything like yeah. it.
Yeah. I think at that point, you know, he was still, I mean, it was, I'm pretty sure it was their first album. So, I, you know, he wasn't like really trying to be the full singer, you know, yeah. but it was crazy. And it was cool to see that. And then, of course, you know, they, over the next few years, they became one of our biggest influences. You know, the subsequent albums, Angel Dust and King for a Day, and
it's so weird. It's not just rock bands or metal bands. It's any band I speak to will reference Angel Dust and just go, man, that record. It's like there's something yeah. about that record. It's just, it sits out of time from anything else. It's just
totally.
Yeah, it's an absolute.
Yeah, and it's a masterpiece, and it was another one of those albums that made us want to evolve.
Yeah.
You know, because it was different from the first album, you know, and it was much more mature, and it was much more, there was a lot more mood to it, and, you know, there was a lot more exploration, and that sort of became one of the, not the blueprint, but, you know, definitely an inspiration.
Yeah. I'm going to take you home for track six, Jerry. A favorite song from your home county, please.
Yeah. It'd have to be Deftones' Board. They were, I think, 3 years ahead of us. And, you know, they had built up a local following for three or four years before they got signed. And, they weren't in the same, they were maybe 30 minutes drive away from us. Sacramento was kind of I don't want to say it was exclusive as far as scenes go, but, you know, we were definitely looked at as little annoying little brothers that didn't really belong there, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, seeing them early on, it was just mind-blowing, the energy that those shows had. And, you know, that song was just the most epic one, basically one or two word choruses, you know?
Yeah.
And it was cool. It definitely brings me back.
Did you find that sort of, you know, inspiring now that there was someone, you know, from where you come from that was doing it, you know, a few years ahead of you? Is that the kind of thing that, you know, you just draw from and just think, look, they've done it. We can fucking do this.
It was a carrot, pretty much. Like, it was like, oh yeah, they could do it, we could do it, you know. And there was, you know, it was probably a difference of 2 or 3 years. So, like I said, we thought we were ready probably before we were really ready, but we did have that mentality of, yeah, they got signed, and then another band, actually two other bands from Sacramento, Will Haven and Far both got signed as well. And so we thought, yeah, let's go, you know.
Last track. This is where you can turn someone onto something new. I'm going to ask you for a song that many people may not know that you would like them to hear, please.
Yeah, I would like to choose a song called Roses on My Grave. It's from the album The Paramore Sessions, and it came together very organically, and it started out as something very small, and you know, it was just, when I say it started out as something very small, it's kind of funny because the house that we were in, it was this huge mansion on the highest hill in Los Angeles, and, you know, it had been used for TV shows, and you know, it was built by an oil heiress in LA, and, you know, and the house was anything but small. It was like 5 acres in the middle of LA. So that part of it's funny, but the riff and the first part of it, it was just really, really late at night. And I was just by myself in the room playing, and Jacoby came in and he said, oh, that's cool, you know, what is that? And I just said, you know, I'm just noodling. And he goes, well, keep going. And he started just kind of riffing, scatting a vocal, and we had it recorded, and you know, when Howard Benson, the producer, came and he listened to it, and he said, it's cool, but I don't really know what to do with it, you know. And I was thinking, well, it could just be a guitar thing at the end of the album. And he goes, no, I think that if we put this on the record, it really should be, it has a potential to be really big, and kind of, let's just take it all the way. Let's just make it grandiose. And so he hired a string section, he hired an arranger, and it just turned into this huge thing. It started from this little tiny, this little riff, and it was cool to see everybody kind of throw their little pieces in. And then it also was amazing to actually be there to watch the string section, you know, be recorded. And it was awesome. And I think it's a cool thing to sum up the album. And I think people should listen to it.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
They can, Jerry, because I put together a Spotify playlist to accompany this podcast, so people can listen to all the songs that we've spoke about. As 2021 starting to gather pace and vaccinations are rolling out and infection levels seem to be dropping, what are you looking forward to personally from 2021, and what's coming up professionally?
Well, obviously, I'm looking forward to some shows, as I'm sure everybody else is, because a live stream is cool, but not the same thing. What's coming up for us? We have some re-records that we have done of some old stuff, and we're taking those re-records and doing some reimaginings. And we have some collaborations that we're really excited about, and
on them reworkings,
on the reimaginings,
cool,
which is we're stoked about, and those will be rolling out sometime this year. And then new music will probably come towards the end of the year, maybe next year, just because we, you know, especially for rock bands, we kind of need album releases to coincide with touring. So that's probably what will happen there. And then can't wait to just start doing shows, and especially the UK. Like,
what's your favorite venue in the UK?
Ooh, there's a lot. I enjoyed the Roundhouse. That was a pretty special thing.
Yeah, that's a cool venue.
I'm ready for Wembley.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Okay, well, if people want to find out everything that Papa Roach are up to, where's the best place for them to go and keep up to speed?
Yeah, paparoach.com, but, you know, we're on all the socials, basically. And we all the news goes there as well, so.
Wonderful. Jerry,
yeah.
Thanks loads for your time, man. It's been a real pleasure talking records with you.
Same here. Thank you.
Take it easy, mate. Have a lovely day.
All right.
See you soon, man. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There you go. Thank you very much, Jerry Horton of Papa Roach. Go and check out the reworking of The Last Resort on Spotify. I've actually added it to Jerry's playlist, so you can go and listen to all of his choices. You can listen to that track as well. It's a really, really cool little reworking of, you know, what is an absolute kind of, you know, rock classic. Like I said at the beginning, please go and check out the back catalogue. And if you see us on iTunes or whatever platform you listen to, subscribe, because that really helps. Leave us a comment. Let us know what you like and don't like about the podcast. And if you'd like to support it, then, you know, this is a labour of love. It's my favourite labour of love. You know, it really, really is. But if you'd like to support the podcast and get extra extra content, then you can do that for about 71p a week over on patreon.com/offthebeatentrack. Your one-stop shop for everything I've just been banging on about is www.offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. Stay safe, lovely people, and thanks ever so much for listening to this podcast and getting behind it and supporting it. And when you see us on the socials, loads of you leave really nice comments and tweet and retweet and, you know, share and stuff, and it all goes in the pot and really, really helps. So I can't thank you enough for that, because this is something I started a couple of years ago, just so I could just chat to some people about records, and it's grown into something far bigger than I ever imagined, and I'm having such a lovely time, you know, chatting to all these people, and I just hope that yous are getting a sliver of the joy listening as I am asking the questions. And I'm done. I'll see you next time. Thank you. Bye bye.
It's Off the Beat and Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin.